Welcome to Faith and Victory Church. Faith and Victory Church is an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. We welcome all who love to worship God and those who wish to deepen their relationship with Him. Pastors Matt and Crystal Krachunas are inviting you to come worship with them and the congregation of Faith and Victory Church this Sunday. To find out more about Faith and Victory Church, check out our website, www.faithandvictory.com. You will find that there is something for everyone at Faith and Victory Church. Now join us for the Spirit-filled message.
Some sporting event today? Why are you guys all here at the 9 o'clock? You know, can I just say something about you people real quick? Like, come more to the 9, because, like, here's what's happening. It's like everybody's not coming to the 9, and they want to come to the 11. I don't know why that is, but just come to the 9, man. It's good stuff here at the 9. Amen? It's good. You know, we could do like the Mormons do and just assign you to a service, you know? It's what they do. Seriously, man. You don't get to choose nothing. They're like, you're going here at this time. See other places, you're getting the business. Ah, we can do that too. I don't mind. All right. Would you guys believe that we're actually going to finish John chapter 5 today?
What?
No.
Yeah, I know. Oh, yeah. Pastor Todd. If you're here for the 201 class, you can go upstairs with Pastor Todd for the 201. All right. There you have it. All right. Let's pray over this word this morning. Father God, we love you this morning. We glorify you and we lift you up. Father, would you just speak to us by your word today? Holy Spirit, I know that you have the capacity and the power to use your word to speak directly to people's situation. And so, God, I pray today for all of us as this word comes forth that it would speak directly to our situation. God, that we wouldn't think that it's a coincidence, but that we would know it was from you. Father, use this word as you will, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I'm not sure if you guys all know this, but I have a child that is in junior high. And, you know, one thing that has given me comfort as I'm processing through this process of having a child in junior high, every single family that attends this church or has attended this church has always had the pleasure of a meeting with me during the time that their children are in junior high. And I kind of thought a few years ago, because I had been to the meeting with all these parents with kids in junior high, that I could kind of figure out how to navigate through it. But I need a meeting with somebody about my kid in junior high. It's just different. You know, I don't know what it is about junior high, but it's a totally, completely different world when you're in junior high. A lot of Christian people say, if you're going to go on a mission trip, go when your kid's in junior high. Just go to another country for 2 years. Before you come back. And I was reflecting on my own junior high experience, and I think that one of the biggest problems with junior high is this sense of there's an audience watching me and I've got to do whatever I have to do to please them. Psychologists call it the hidden audience. It's the sense that everybody's watching you. And you know, when you're in junior high, you will do whatever it takes to fit in. See, like when I was in junior high, the thing that you had to do to fit in is you had to have this article of clothing that was the coolest article of clothing that ever walked the planet, and it's known as the acid wash jean jacket. Oh. Amen? You guys remember that action? Huh? The Levi acid wash jean jacket? I mean, if you were wearing one of those things, you were making it. Now, the thing about the acid wash jean jacket, I was thinking about it. I thought, you know, I didn't even really like the thing. I just liked that everybody liked me because I was wearing the thing. You know what I'm saying? Now, I don't know what it was for you and where you grew up, but that's where it was for me. And I was thinking about that story as I was going through the scripture this week, because these guys that Jesus is talking to really haven't moved past junior high. they're still kind of stuck in this junior high mentality where they care so much more about what other people think instead of what God thinks. And they've been living their lives trying to please everybody else instead of trying to please God. They've been trying to figure out whatever it takes to make sure that everybody else agrees with them instead of figuring out, what does it take to have God agree with me? What does it take for God to be proud of me? And we'll go to John chapter 5. You can start in verse 41. This is where it starts. John chapter 5, verse 41. Jesus says, I do not accept praise from men, but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe if you accept praise from one another, yet make no effort to obtain the praise that comes from the only God? But do not think I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But since you do not believe what he wrote, how are you going to believe what I say? Now, what does the scripture say? Jesus says, I don't accept praise from men. And then he states to these guys that you don't have the love of God in your hearts. Now, we're going to talk a minute about what that praise actually means. It actually means more an acceptance. It's not actually what we do when we get together and we praise him. It's actually more of an acceptance. And how does he know that these guys don't have the love of God in their hearts? It's because they're rejecting Jesus. It's because they're rejecting him. It's because they're not accepting him. And he says to these guys, listen, man, you guys are still in junior high here. You care more about what other people think instead of what God thinks. Then he says, I'm not going to accuse you. And some people say, well, I thought we were going to stand before Jesus, and you will. But Jesus is really just laying the stank on these guys. And he's saying, you don't even believe Moses. Like, you guys act like you're religious. You act like you've got it all together. But you don't even agree with the scriptures that you study, because if you did, you would accept me. He says, if you don't believe Moses, you're not going to believe me. So what does this verse mean? Well, first off, I really got caught up on that part where Jesus says to these guys, you don't have the love of God in your hearts. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was standing around, hanging around Jesus, and I thought I was a religious person, I thought I had a love of God, and Jesus looked at me and said, you don't even have the love of God in your heart, like, that would hurt. That'd be a little bit painful for Jesus to say that. See, the nature of God is that he knows exactly where your heart's at. You can't fake the funk before God. You can't pretend something before God. You can fake it in front of other people, and you can kind of lead them to believe something that's not true. But the nature of God, and in this instance, God in the flesh as manifest in Jesus, is that you cannot pretend to be something that you are not. He looks straight down to where you are at in your heart, and he says, listen, man, you might think that you've got it, and everybody else might think that you got it, but you don't got it. It's a pretty harsh statement. From this interaction, Jesus really calls on them the essence of who they are and what they are trying to do. Remember, part of this story is that these guys were the religious elite of the time. These are the ones that everybody looked up to, the ones that everybody looked at as the shining example of a God follower, the shining example of somebody that was doing religion right. And Jesus stands before him and he says, you know what, you guys couldn't be more wrong than what you are doing right now, because everything that you're doing is not manifesting in that which is the most important, which is to actually love God. God is not impressed with religious practice, folks. He's not impressed with what you do with your bodies or how you spend your time. He's not impressed with the fact that you may show up to church or go feed the homeless or whatever it is. What God is concerned with first and foremost is the heart. See, from the external, most people would have thought that these guys had it squared away. What's even worse is that it wasn't that everybody else thought they had it squared away. It was that these guys themselves thought that they had it squared away. That's even worse, isn't it? When you think you've got it done, when you think you've got it all squared away, and Jesus is like, dude, you do not have it squared away. I don't know if Jesus said, dude. I want to show you this verse in Isaiah 29:13. And it's a few other places in the Bible. Let me show you two scripture verses. In Isaiah 29:13, it says, these people come near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only by rules taught by men. And that was in the Old Testament, and I think that Jesus is kind of showing this in these guys right now, and that's what's going on. They had external religious practice, but the manifestation of the love of God inside of their hearts was not there, because their hearts were not turned towards God. And that was the thing that Jesus was more concerned with. Jesus himself said it again in Matthew 15:8. He says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. See, what Jesus came to do and came to reestablish was that the love of God is the most important thing that religious people need to be concerned with. It's not the external practice. External practice does not pay the bills, folks. It doesn't impress anyone. It doesn't impress God. God is first and foremost concerned with where is your heart at? It was these guys that thought what they did pleased God. It wasn't even who they were. Isn't that what any one of us want? Isn't it? I mean, in our own personal relationships, there is a big difference between doing something because you have to and doing something because you want to.
Yes, amen.
Now, adults, we're good liars. Like, we've learned over the years how to lie to people and make it seem as though, yeah, I know, you guys are all a bunch of dirty liars. You know, because if we have to go somewhere we don't want to go, like we just put a smile on our face. Oh, it's so great to see you. And you're like, it is not good to see you. Oh, I'm so glad that we're here. You're like, I'm not glad I'm here. Now, if you really want to see a true heart condition, bring a junior hire with you. Because a junior hire, they don't have they do have the ability, but for some reason, they don't want to lie. If they're not happy to be there, they're not going to act like they're happy to be there. If they don't want to do something, they're not going to pretend for your sake, no matter what, even if you are the pastor of the church, to pretend that they want to be there. The issue here, the big issue, is that these guys did not have a love of God. They were more in love with their practice than actually what the practice was meant to be focused on. Folks, let me talk about this for a second. I want you to understand something about our church, okay? And I've been praying about this and thinking about this for a long period of time because I'm a guy that wants to understand what am I doing and why am I doing it. Okay, and if you've been hanging around here longer than a week, you can probably figure out that at Faith and Victory, we do things a little bit differently than they do at other churches. Okay, our whole entire practice, the whole entire move of how we do this thing, what we focus on here at Faith and Victory, and I say this for a few reasons. It's not because I'm not trying to give you an advertisement of what we're doing as much as I want you to. Jeez, it's a cute color. It's coral. I get very easily distracted, okay? If you're in the first three rows and you're like, that's the thing about women, man. They can't even help but talk about it. So cute. All right, so anyway, what I was saying about our church is that we focus on three big things here. And if you're wondering where we're going and what we're about, folks, there's three big things that we focus on. The first one is fellowship, okay? As a church, when we get together and we love on each other and we laugh and we cry and we joke and we eat food, it pleases the heart of God. We as Christian people need to spend time with one another, okay? The next thing that we need to focus on is worship of God, okay? That's God-centered worship in which our hearts are focused upwards. Not singing songs about ourselves, singing songs to God. And you'll notice that we try really hard there to have those type of songs here because collectively when we come together on a Sunday, we are walking out what Christian people are supposed to do, which is together in unity, praising God for his goodness. Okay? And the third part of it is discipleship. And what does that mean? That means getting to know the Bible so that we can live more how God wants us to live. Now, sometimes I get caught up in this mindset of because I don't have this big plan to build this big building that I'm kind of missing out what God wants to do with us, when the reality is that sometimes people get more focused about building a big building instead of getting people's hearts turned towards God. Yeah. Folks, God will give us a building God will take us wherever He wants us to go. But I am not concerned about where we meet. I am more concerned about where our hearts are at. Because we can handle anything else. Man, we sit on folding chairs. We can have seven services in this room. I just don't care. What I care about is are our hearts turned towards God. Because if our lives are truly transformed by His grace, it's going to affect every relationship that we have. It's gonna make God be a light in the community, and it's going to have nothing to do with whether we have the best programming, the best building, the best parking lot, the best looking people. All those other things really don't matter if we don't have a love of God. Now, am I saying that other churches that do that stuff don't have a love of God? No, I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is I can't figure out much more than just let's have a love of God. I'm a simple man. If we can just focus on that, if we can just focus on loving God more, because what I would hate is that Jesus would come into our church one day and say, do you know what? I really kind of like everything that you guys are doing, but I really would have appreciated a little bit more love in your heart towards me. I don't want to answer to God for that. And so when we come together and we're focusing on these things, it's always because I want us to have a heart that's turned towards God. See, in a church, if you have a church of people that's filled with hearts towards God, you don't have to worry about manipulating people to do things that a lot of other organizations have to do. I don't have to manipulate you to volunteer because you got a love of God in your heart. You want to volunteer. I don't have to manipulate you to give because you're going to want to give because you have a love of God in your heart. You don't have to be manipulated to show up and love on other people because you've got a love of God in your heart. People try to put the cart before the horse. Trying to get people to do stuff. I don't want to get you to do stuff, man. I want to get you to love God so that the Holy Spirit will get you to do what you need to do before God. Amen? Here's the biggest struggle with these guys and why they didn't have this love of God is that they cared more about what people thought than God thought. That's what they cared more about. It's like 2 Timothy 3:5. They had a form of godliness but denying its power. A form of godliness, but denying its power. And you can be around Christian people that look really religious, and it's a form of godliness, but it's lacking power. Like all over the nation today, there's people that are coming together that are singing songs. There's people that are coming together and listen to somebody talk. There's people that are coming together that aren't really fellowshipping. And I'm not trying to slam other people. I'm saying God still, even in this day, will come to churches all over the world and say, you're doing all this stuff, but your hearts are far from me. You're caring more about what it looks like instead of what it is. You're caring more about what everybody else thinks about you. You know what really changed my heart last year? And if you'll notice, my preaching even changed in the last year because I used to care that we met in a warehouse. I thought God couldn't move in this building. And I thought I was too concerned about what everybody else thought about me because I was the pastor in a warehouse. And when you're around pastors, man, you just, oh, where do you meet? You're like, oh, the cathedral down on Main Street. You've seen it. What about you, Matt? A warehouse, West Valley. You've seen it. It's across the street from the swamp. I mean, you guys have your issues and your problems. This is Pastor Problems 101. I used to care a lot about the size of our church. Because that's the stuff pastors talk about. Your building, your people, and your budgets. That's all they talk about. But I laid that down, man. I'm done with it. Do you guys realize, since last August, I don't even know how much money's coming in every month? And some people would say, well, don't you need to know? Yeah, I'll know, because Pastor Rob would be like, we've ran out. I told her, I said, man, just let me know when we're down to the wire. Because I just, and I'll get back to looking at it at some point, but I needed for a moment in time to not care so much about what other people thought. Yeah. These people were spending more time thinking about what other people thought about them, and if they had the praise of men, they were doing good, instead of thinking about, do they have the praise of God? See, these guys, more than likely, and I was thinking about it, they probably really worried about what kind of donkey they rode. Yeah, sure. Hasim, have you seen his donkey is brown. They always wanted to have the trendiest tunics that money could buy. Your tunic, it is so last year. Your tunic is so one. This tunic is very five. That's some highbrow humor right there, folks. They probably spent a lot of time keeping up on the tablets that were talking about the lives of the Romans so they could be in the know. That's a slam on smut magazines, just so you know. Wives would probably say things like, honey, do you think you could put a new coat of mud on the hut this weekend? The family down the road did. It's such a new color of mud. They probably spent more time trying to draw conclusions from Scripture that weren't there to justify their lives and impress the other teachers. They probably focused more on getting the rules right instead of their hearts right. There's nothing new under the sun, man. It's all the same heart condition. They cared more about what men thought than God thought. Because here's the deal, folks. Jesus is not doing what he's doing so that people will praise him. He's not doing what he's doing so that people will like him. He's not some junior hire that came down from heaven and was like, man, what can I do to get these people to like me? He's not like that at all. Jesus had a mission, he had a calling, he had a focus, and he came down to live out that mission, focus, and calling of what God had called him to do. Now let me say this, because some of you are getting caught up on this word of praise, and the source of this word is really acceptance. And so when Jesus says, I do not accept the praise of men, he's not talking about us praising him, okay? We need to praise Jesus. We need to put our hands in the air and wave like I just don't care. Sorry. Whenever I say that phrase, it always comes out like that. I'm sorry. You've got to be able to worship God. We're called to worship him, called to lift up his name, to fill heaven with praise. But here's where Jesus is coming from, and what I want us to draw from this morning is Jesus wasn't going to change the plan that God had for him just so people would like, love, and accept him. Folks, truth is truth, and it needs to be told. Amen? Lives are at stake, and Jesus wasn't going to get caught up in this trap of worrying about where people were going to think about what he was doing or saying or doing or not saying. He was on a mission from God. He had a job to do, and no one or nothing was going to keep him from doing this. Paul had figured this out. 1 Corinthians 4:3, he said, I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. See, Paul had taken the life that Jesus had lived, and he set it in his heart to live for an audience of one. He said, I don't even judge myself. Because he knew where his relation, you can leave that up there for a second, RJ. He set himself in a relationship where he said, I don't even judge myself. And so some people say, well, aren't we supposed to judge ourselves a little bit? And the answer is, not really. Because if you are so close with Jesus, if your relationship is so close with him, you know that Jesus is going to take care of the details. You don't have to worry about getting the rules right. You have to worry about getting your heart right. Paul left that part up to God. He said, you know what? I can just do what I'm going to do, but at the end of the day, God is going to be the one that's going to judge me. Some of you probably know people that got the only God can judge me tattoo. Have you guys seen that one? If you have it in this church, I apologize for what I'm about to say. Okay. But I've known quite a few people that have the only God can judge me tattoo. But what's interesting is that the people that I know that have the only God can judge me tattoo usually aren't doing it as a means to live under the grace of God. In my experience, usually it's so they can do whatever they want to whoever they want, however they want, and then tell you, only God can judge me. Folks, this isn't what I'm talking about. I'm not saying to run out and get an only God can judge me tattoo so you can do whatever you want. Okay? But there is truth to that. There is truth to that in the sense that truly only God can judge you. No other person can judge you. But understand this. God is not going to judge you on your actions. He's going to judge you on your heart. actions are an outpouring of where your heart is at. Actions aren't the one that change your heart. Your heart is changed, and then your actions change. Because here's the part that Jesus was trying to say, the end part of this scripture, is that Jesus is saying, all this scripture points to me. Okay? From Moses to the end, it all points to me. It wasn't what Jesus just said about himself that made it powerful. It's what the Old Testament scriptures said about Jesus that made it powerful. The scriptures that these guys were reading. And what it was saying was that Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus was the chosen one. Jesus was the one that came to save the world. This whole book, folks, don't get it twisted. This whole entire book supports who Jesus is. Jesus is found in the book of Genesis and every other book in this Bible. Every book you go through, you find Jesus. So what does this mean to us? Folks, first and foremost, we've got to have the love of God in our hearts. We have to. You'll notice in the life of Jesus, he's always picking apart people's actions and getting to the root of it. It's all throughout Scripture. He always comes up and squares away people that thought they had it right. God wants you to have your heart where it needs to be, not have you doing actions that aren't connected to a correct act. Does that make sense? Now, let me say this on the side note, is that I'm not saying you shouldn't do good things. Don't go around and be like, well, my heart ain't right. Might as well live like the devil. I'm not. The point is not to go out and doing a bunch of nonsense. The point is to ask yourself, do I have a heart that's turned towards God? Do I have a heart that is focused and has a love of him? God wants to have your heart where it needs to be. You know, as many of you know, I was in the military, and part of military customs and courtesies is that they have this thing called retreat at the end of the day. And retreat is when the music plays and they're lowering the flag. And so the rules are, is that if you are somewhere where you can hear the music, it doesn't matter whether you're indoors, outdoors, driving a car, walking down the street, if you are somewhere where you hear the music, you have to stop, you have to face the music, and then you have to salute in the direction of where the flag is on post, wherever that may happen to be. You have to know this. Then you stop, and then you face the music to where the flag is, and then you lower it, and then you just go on. This is what you're supposed to do, okay? And it's really an odd thing if you're rolling around a military post at about 5 p.m. because people will just be like walking. It's like a zombie movie, right? Because all of a sudden everything just stops and people are like, bonk, and then they face and then they salute and like the world stands still. And I'll be frank with you. I kind of like it, man. I liked it when I was in the military because I think it says a lot about the curve of the day. I really liked it. It made a very clear point at where the workday ended. I like that. But what was interesting is that there's a lot of people in the military that they would hear the music and pretend like they didn't hear it. They would, you know, they'd be driving in their car and there's like dozens of people standing on the side of the road like this. And people are like, oh, I don't even see these people standing on the side of the road. Everybody else has stopped, faced the music, saluted, and they're doing the thing. And nobody else, and people walking the other way, like a couple hundred yards away, pretending like they don't see it, pretending like they don't hear it. Why do I share that story with you? See, you can either be a person that actually does something because you have a love for it, or you can just do it because you've been being told to do it. See, part of the reason why I remembered every day where I was at 5 o'clock, because I was in the military, man. I wore a uniform and I swore to protect and defend this country, and because I believed in what I was doing at the time, I felt honored to be able to be a part of this military custom that had been around for hundreds of years. So I relished the opportunity. Why? Because I don't do that anymore, man. I don't look at my clock at 5 o'clock anymore and salute Fort Lewis from Covington. I don't do that anymore. But when I was there, I did it because I had a love for being in the military, and I do have a love for where I live, being a part of this country. But some people only do things because they're told to do it, not because they have a love for it. They're the types that don't want to face the music. They're the people that don't want to get out of their car. They're the ones that don't want to have to stop what they're doing to look dumb in civilian clothes, standing there going like this. They don't want to do it. It's good to have good actions in your life, but if you don't have the love of God in your heart, it's worthless, folks. It's worthless. The prophet Isaiah said it in Isaiah 64:6. He says, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf and the wind, and our sins sweep us away. What does he mean by that? He means that whenever we try to do something before God, but our heart isn't right, it's like filthy rags. It's a disgusting thing. God doesn't even look at it. I'm not going to talk about the full meaning, but if you can think of the filthiest rags possible, that's what they are. Read up on it. I'm not going to talk about it in church because it's that disgusting, but they're the filthiest rags that you can think about. That's how God looks at righteous acts that aren't connected to a heart. You know, I like in 1 Samuel 16:7, it says, for the Lord to look at, it was talking about Samuel, and he was talking about where he was going to go, and he was looking for somebody. He says, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things a man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And he was sending Samuel to go find somebody with a pure heart. Now, I'm not talking about that story specifically. As much as I'm talking about God's heart towards us, is that he doesn't look at the outward, he looks at the inward. I'm hammering this point today because I want you to search your own hearts and think, man, is my heart where it needs to be? It's like he says in Matthew 7, 21 through 23, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? In your name have we not done many wonderful works? Have we not cast out demons? And on that day, God will look at them and he says, away from me, you evildoers. I never knew you. I never knew you. That's what it says. God cares so much about where our hearts are more than what our actions are. How do you know if you have the love of God in your heart? First off, you have to believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And I'm not just saying like, hey, I believe that. Yeah, it sounds like a good idea. I want to make heaven. I'm talking about like when you're alone with your own thoughts, like can you envision Jesus himself going up to the mercy seat and sprinkling blood for you? And do you believe that? Not just in your head, but in your heart. Here's another part of it. When faced with a Bible truth, are you willing to change the way in which you live your lives? Because here's what happens is that a lot of times preachers or pastors will say you need to live this way, but your heart hasn't changed, and then you start doing your actions. But once you truly have the love of God in your hearts, once you've accepted Jesus as Savior, if there's a Bible truth that comes out, and I don't care if it comes from me or if it comes from somebody else, I don't care if it's one of your kids. If somebody is telling you a truth that's from the Bible, do you try to align your lives with what that truth is? Because if you had a love of God, you would do that, right? If you had a love of God, you would do that. You wouldn't buck past or buck against that thing. And that's not to earn his love or to earn heaven, but because he loves you and because you're going to heaven. If you want to wonder if you've got the love of God in your heart, ask yourself, am I moving downstream? Am I closer to God today than I was 5 years ago? And right now, as I stand here and I preach these words, no one knows where your heart is except you. Nobody knows. I don't know. Sometimes I know. I do. It's one of the gifts that God's given me. I don't be telling you when I know when you ain't got the love of God in your heart, but he be telling me. Hey, it's true. Do you know why? Because I love you. Because I don't want to scare you away from the true love of the Father, and so I don't call you on your nonsense. It's fine. The Holy Spirit knows. Only you and God know if you have a love of God in your heart. And if you don't, you should spend some time reflecting all the good he has given you in your life and find reasons to love him. Spend that time. Here's another part of this for us this morning. Folks, hear my heart on this, okay? Don't care so much what other people think. Don't care about what other people think so much. We all fall into this trap, don't we? Come on, man. We all fall into this trap, don't we? Yeah. Care so much about what other people think. Worrying about what you drive, because when you're driving down the road, other people you don't know are going to care about what you're driving. Seriously. Caring so much about what we're wearing, where we're going. Caring so much about these people that, You know, people that don't even like you and you're worried about what they think about you. Jesus said in verse 44, he says, how can you believe if you accept praise from one another, yet make no effort to obtain the praise that comes from the only God? These guys were just surrounding themselves around each other, breaking their arms, patting each other on the back. Like, oh man, you're such a good Pharisee, man. You really were law. You were really full of the law today. I'm really proud of you. Good job. But they didn't even care what God thinks. Now let me pepper it with this, folks. And I'm being as serious as a heart attack this morning, okay? If you are going to Walmart in your pajamas, okay, you're not proving that you don't care what people think. Okay?
Amen.
If that's you, please, in the name of the resurrected Savior, would you just stop? Just stop, man. There's no, like, this act of defiance of who can get to Walmart the fastest after rolling out of bed. It's just wrong. But people live in this world of, they're like, well, I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm just going to go in my pajamas and my, like, my slippers with the bunnies on them. And man, comb your hair, please. It's just wrong. It just is. Now, let me say this. At least if you are one of those people, I know there's got to be at least one in this room, and it is, just don't wear a shirt from FVC while you're there. Just don't do it. Just don't do it, man. Being a jerk is not proving you don't care what other people think.
That's right.
If you're a mean-spirited, mean-hearted, be mean to other people person, and you think you're just showing that you don't care what other people think, you're wrong. You've got to do what you know is right. You know that God wants to do it, wants you to do right things, and the world would be a better place if you were doing these right things. Because really, the problem that most people have is not that we're doing wrong things because we care about what people think. It's that you won't do the things that are right because you're worried about what other people will think. You won't go love on someone that needs to be loved. You won't care for someone that needs to be cared for. You won't say something to somebody that needs to be said out of love because you're too concerned what other people think. Seriously, this morning the fact that you're here is proof that you don't care what other people think. Most people would be amazed that you would arrange your schedule to be at a church on a Sunday morning. So you're already living that out. It's a huge deal, man. I really believe that. The Bible says that you forgive people, you forgive them. The Bible says you serve people, you serve them. The Bible says you love, you love. The Bible says you give, you give. The Bible says you worship God, you worship God. Folks, we have to care about what God thinks. That was the main issue with these guys. They made no effort to obtain the praise that comes from the only God. I'm amazed at how many people don't even think about what God thinks they are doing. You guys didn't amen that. That's okay. Amen. Folks, God knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're doing. He knows where you're going. And all he desires from you is to believe in his son, Jesus, to place your trust and your life in him. John 6:29, Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. That's all the Lord is asking of you this morning. He's not asking you to square away anything else in your life. He's saying, would you just believe in my son? Would you just believe that this scripture points to the one that came to save? Would you believe that when he died on the cross, he died for your sins? See, because here's the part of it, folks, is that a lot of times I believe that people's emotional, spiritual, and physical problems in this world are because they don't realize that they've been forgiven by Jesus. They haven't really accepted that. They haven't really received that forgiveness. Because if they had, they wouldn't be so hard on themselves. They wouldn't have so much self-loathing hatred of themselves. These guys knew the scripture. They just didn't believe in it. They believed in themselves, their own knowledge, their own ideas, their own acceptance. Mm-hmm. Folks, the greatest thing that you can do in your walk with Jesus is quit fighting this book. Just quit fighting it. It's just believe what it says. And some people say, well, aren't we supposed to think for ourselves? No. No, not in this regard. Dude, you can wear whatever you want. You can paint your house whatever color you want. You can do whatever job that you want. You can go travel, move, and live, and do whatever it is that you want to give or do. But when it comes to this book, your job is to read it and believe it. And I'm not saying that not have questions. If you have questions, go ahead, man. You can read books that are 10 times thicker than this proving this thing, or you can just take the short route and just start reading it and believing it. Because it's the truth. It really is. Over thousands of years, there have been millions of people that have tried everything that they can to disprove this book, and they just can't do it. Don't look for loopholes. Okay? Don't look for side doors. Don't try to make this thing say something that it doesn't. Just believe what it says about what it says. Amen. If God says that He created the earth, He created the earth.
Yeah.
What about evolution? What about evolution, man? I'm not even getting into it, but it doesn't change anything, man. God created it. If this Bible says something is wrong, it's wrong.
Amen.
And I don't have to justify it. Well, you know, the world has really changed in the last 2,000 years. Sure it has, man. They don't have iPods in the Bible either, okay?
Yeah.
But if the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. If it says something's going to end up a certain way, believe it. Don't adjust what you believe to fit the world. Make the world adjust to what you believe.
Yeah, amen.
Folks, we're living in perilous times, man. There are things in this world right now that everyone says is okay, and God's word says it's not okay.
That's right. Amen.
I'm going to stake my life on what this book says.
Amen.
I'm going to stake my life on what Jesus said. And I don't care if people don't agree with me. I don't need to post it every day on Facebook. I don't need other people to agree with me.
That's right. Come on.
I really don't. There is certain legislation that came through this last political cycle that I completely disagreed with. But I don't need other people to agree with me. I know what I believe and I know why I believe it. And I don't care if this whole entire world runs in the complete opposite direction to what the Word of God says. I am not going to change what I believe.
Amen.
I don't care if they lock me up, tie me up, and do whatever they have to do to me, man. I am not going to go against what this Bible says.
Amen.
Don't care so much about what other people think, man. This morning I want to leave you with this. Would you just close your eyes? Would you just bow your head? This is what I want you to think about. Okay? And I know every week I'm like, bow your heads. And we're going to do it every week till Jesus comes back, so get used to it. And if you don't want to reflect, just take a little nap. When the music starts, you can just stand up. But like I said at the beginning, man, I do not want to come down here and waste each other's time. Why would you get up in the morning, come down here waiting to hear from God, and when the Holy Spirit moves on you, you wouldn't actually allow Him to move and change something in your life? That's a waste of time. So here's the challenge for today. I want you to think, is there an area of my life where I care more about what other people think than what God thinks? And I pray right now that the Holy Spirit would just reveal that thing to you. Whatever area that may be. Allow Him to speak to you. I believe that maybe you're sitting here this morning and maybe you're not even believing in this whole Jesus story. Maybe you do, but you want to follow Jesus, but you're too worried about what other people are going to think about you once you do. What if people think that I'm crazy? What if they think I'm a Jesus freak? What if they think that I'm weird now? What if it costs me my friendships? Why do you care more about what other people think than what God thinks? God doesn't want to control your life. He wants to guide your life. He's a loving Savior. And all He asks is for you to put your faith in Him. So if that's what you need to do this morning, put your faith in Jesus. Now, maybe you're a believer this morning, but you've just been like a living on the fringe kind of believer. You're like, you know what? I have cared far too much what other people have thought about me and my life and how I live and what I do. Would you just talk to God this morning? Just quietly under your breath and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I've done that. I'm done with it. I'm going to care more about what you think. And I know it might cost me a little bit in the short term, but in the long term, God, I want you to be pleased with my life. I'm going to stop doing this thing I know I shouldn't be doing. I'm going to stop saying this thing I shouldn't be saying. I'm going to stop going to this place I shouldn't be going. Father, I praise you this morning for your goodness. God, I thank you that you're a God that hears, that you're a God that fills, that you're a God that delivers, that you're a God that heals. God, I pray today for all of us that we would live our lives in a way that we cared more about what you think than other people think. And God, I'm sorry for those times when I didn't speak when I was supposed to, when I didn't shut up when I should have. And I apologize for that, God. Would you just please forgive me? Would you forgive us? God, would you help us to be people that live our lives only to please you? God, I pray for our church. I pray for Faith and Victory, God, that every time we're together, Lord, that you look down at us and you're pleased with our love that we have for you. God, that you would never say to us that we don't have the love of you. God, I pray that as we direct the affairs of this church, God, as we do what we do as Christian believers, that we don't lose sight of that. That first and foremost, we want to be a church that loves you. That we have hearts turned towards you. Father, we praise you this morning. We glorify you this morning. In the powerful name of Jesus, amen. Amen.